So, if you haven't realized this, we're our own mom and pop shop outlet for all things DFS. The best way to support the show, if you like it, is patreon.com/lineuplogic. Here's the deal, though. You may think, okay, well, it's just a cheat sheet. It's probably similar to the podcast, whatever the case may be. What people don't realize is for $15 a month, you can get access for the rest of March, right? Whole month. You're talking literally less than a dollar a slate, less than 50 cents if you play every slate. Anyway, our player rater, the worksheet, which includes the player rater, includes the plus minus trends, the big monster trends, Josh's new proprietary sauce metric, which is a special blend of all of his trends weighted over time in order to show what is happening with a certain matchup. We call it the sauce because it's a special blend of all of the matchup metrics. My matchup chart, which is just raw data for all the matchups, so you can grade out the matchups just on raw data. And access to everything that's on Fantasy 5x5. Home road boost, back-to-back boost, rematch search, DVP deep dive. You can literally see how many rebounds a team gives up to a certain position on a daily on a regular basis. Best spots tool, historically what the best spots are. Lineup optimizer, projections for FanDuel, DraftKings, and even the draft app. $15 a month. Tell me there's a better value out there. Tell me there's another podcast worth supporting. Guys, we need it. We appreciate it. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Get involved. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in. Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you late surges by Anthony Davis after he gets injured. That we are responsible for that. It wasn't him. It wasn't Alvin Gentry. It wasn't the Clippers. It was us here at Lineup Logic. That is who is responsible for that. Now, a big night last night. Great night last night. You know, if you rolled out the line, the podcast lineup, you were probably happy. Milos, Chris Paul, Giroux and Lou, who both hit value. Trevor Ariza went 6x. Frank the Tank was a little bit of a letdown. I'm trying to remember who else was in that line. Frank the Tank, AD, obviously. Jared Allen. Oh, yeah, Jared Allen. Oh, right. Oh, right. Jared Allen. Oh, right, the Nets. Oh, right, that team. Down by 20 points in, like, the first 7 minutes. Oh, God, what a disaster. Listen, plenty to talk about tonight on a Wednesday night slate. It's a good one. The nice thing about the NBA, they must be thinking about us DFS guys because they've broken up the schedule a little bit for us, you know? It's really pretty pleasant. It's downright nice of them to not make us break down 12 games at a time. It's a 7-game schedule tonight. 7-gamers, so should be a good one. Again, some changes in rotation, some news. The league handed a letter down. Brian pointed this out to me on Twitter. The league handed a letter to the Bulls saying, "We're on to you, motherfuckers. Play some real players." People don't pay to go to Bulls Celtics so they can watch Cameron Payne and Cristiano Felicio for 25 minutes. Play Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday, or else we're going to fine you and we're going to take your money. Losing by 40 is unacceptable. Now, if you want to lose in the fourth quarter, in the final 5 minutes, we get it. We get it. Which seems to be what Mike Malone and the Nuggets did last night, finishing the game with Malik Beasley, not Nikola Jokic. Makes sense to me. Obviously, the Nuggets have just you know, with the return of Paul Millsap, decided that it's tank time. It's over. The season is done, even though they're in the playoff. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what he should be fired. Is that clear enough? He should be fired. He is weird rotations. And it's, I think it would, my guess, unless his young players really, really, really like him, I'm going to guess that Murray, Harris, and Jokic, it would wear on them after a while to not be clear on what's going to happen. Like, that, for a professional basketball player to be treated like he's like a high school sophomore where you're like, I'm going to teach you a lesson where you sit down if you don't play hard. Yeah, you're probably not going to get through to that guy. He's a grown-ass man. You probably should treat him like that, Mike Malone. Anyway, just my personal opinion. Nobody's paying me for my opinions, but you're listening to them. I'm sorry. Let's go ahead over to the slate tonight. Like I said, 7 games, some good ones. And by good ones, I mean good one. Houston-Milwaukee, that's the good one. The rest of it, I don't know. You know, Toronto's on a back-to-back. They get it. Let's talk about tonight. Okay, fine. Let's go. All right. Like I said, tonight, 7 games. Fantasy5by5.com. That's where I go to find my Vegas lines. First tool right there, Vegas DVP boosts. Of course, you're going to see the matchup, the line. How many points above average or below average team is projected for that night? Players above average, below average, their projection currently sits at. Because Chris is the man. He designs the coolest stuff. Jazz at the Pacers. This is kind of a fun one. This is an interesting game. Low total, 199 total. Creeping at 200 almost. But Jazz are basically half a point. Like, this is a dead heat, man. A dead heat. I love this game in the front court. Okay, in the front court. I think that there is absolutely something to like here. So, you know, no serious injuries on either side. Derek Favors is questionable with a neck. That's the one. We don't know if he's going to play. I don't know. We'll know more today, I'm sure. It was reported yesterday, so we'll find out if Favors can't go. Now, if he can't go, it becomes interesting because you're probably going to get a little bit more Jay Crowder and a little bit of Jonas Jerebko. Pacers, you know, just a standard Bojan Bogdanović is your leading scorer streak, you know, standard procedure. No, in all seriousness, Bojan has been ridiculous. This isn't a particular game where I would go after him, but he scored 29 in that game against the Wiz, I think it was, on Monday. So, Nice spot. This game should be competitive, which is why I think you can reliably look at some of the starters, particularly Rudy Gobert. That's one guy that I'm interested in. Memphis at Chicago. This one is the Tankathon Super Bowl, baby. Memphis versus Chicago, 207 total here. Memphis is a three-point dog here. And Chicago should win this game, no doubt about it. But with all the injuries in the Memphis backcourt, and we're still looking at the Memphis injuries, okay? There's still plenty of Memphis injuries for us to be concerned with, right? Tyreke Evans is out. Andrew Harrison is out. Mario Chalmers is out. So we are probably going to see and Jarrell Martin was a late scratch in that San Antonio game. Hopefully he plays. Kobe Simmons got 25 minutes. Okay. Ben McLemore did not play either in that game. So, okay. So, wow. This is ridiculous. I forgot about Ben McLemore and Jarrell Martin. So, keep an eye on Ben McLemore, Jarrell Martin. We know Chalmers and Harrison are out. We know that Tyreke is out. So, at point guard, you have the following gentlemen. You have Wayne Selden and Kobe Simmons, okay? You have Dylan Brooks to play on the wing. You have possibly Chandler Parsons to play on the wing, but you're going to get a lot of usage from Jamichael Green and potentially Jarrell Martin as well. We're going to have to see who plays. I mean, just let's get some news in the middle of the day. Maybe we'll get some guys ruled out. But the Jarrell Martin and Wayne Sell or Ben McLemore, that stuff matters, right? That stuff matters. So we'll see. I don't know why they were ruled. I guess it was a personal and a knee. I forget because they were late scratches. So let's see what we get. Either way, a lot of these Grizzlies are in play just because the roster is so thin. Is Marc Gasol in play? Yes, based on matchup. And yes, based on recent minutes. I mean, 32 minutes has been the floor in the last five. And if this team is thin again, then he's going to play a lot against a really, really, really bad front court. And he's taken a lot of shots. He's been sort of inefficient, but he's taken a lot of shots. Interesting to go to Memphis here. I think you're going to want some Memphis in your lineup against Chicago. And Chicago, well, the bad news is the good news is that maybe they won't put such a shit product on the floor. The bad news is that Lopez and Holiday have to re-enter the rotation because they're very clearly in tanking. You get Lopez and Holiday back in there. What does it do to Nwaba, Denzel Valentine? What does it do to Lauri Markkanen? What does it do to Bobby Portis? You know, my guess is that everybody will go to, they're all at like a 27 minute limit. I don't know if they'll go to like a 24 minute type deal. I mean, Lopez wasn't playing more than 25 minutes a night anyway. My guess is that he'll be like an 18 minute guy somewhere in there. And then Justin Holiday, maybe we'll just back up Zach LaVine, right? It's confusing. This is not a bad spot for guys like Chris Dunn. This is not a bad spot for, you know, some of the wing players here, like maybe a Zach LaVine or something like that. But even though LaVine has been pretty rough lately and they should be dialing his minutes back. I don't know. The Bulls, we'll see what they do with their starting rotation if they give us any news. Other than that, I think it's just you got to be careful. You got to be a little bit more careful. Rockets Bucks 216 total here, which is a little bit lower than I would have liked to have seen for a headline game here. But Rockets favored by 6 on the road. This is a rough back to back for them, though. Remember, they were in they were in OKC last night. They're going to fly to Milwaukee. They flew to Milwaukee tonight. They're going to play against Giannis and the boys there. No injuries on the Rockets side except for that Ryan Anderson injury, which gave PJ Tucker plenty of good run. It gave everybody else the same, you know, same numbers that we were used to. 25 minutes for PJ, 22 minutes for Luke and Bob Mute, 30 minutes for Trevor Ariza. You know, it's all there. That's all it. You know, Gerald Green even saw a couple good minutes there. On the Milwaukee side of things, Jason Terry has been playing a lot. I don't think you can play him, but I want to point this out. He's been playing like upwards of 21 minutes on a regular basis. Jabari Parker, same thing. It's really affected Chris Middleton, who, you know, did not play a lot in that Indiana game, left with an injury, sat out, not the Indiana game, but was out of practice or something. There was some kind of news on Chris Middleton. I can't remember. He was questionable going on into Monday, but he'll probably play here. This is an interesting spot. I mean, Eric Bledsoe has been on fire. 40 fantasy points for him regularly. He has been really, really hot. Obviously, a great spot for Giannis as well. Tired legs on the Rockets, trying to keep up. I think this game probably hits the over, mostly because there's going to be less defense. The Rockets looked slow last night. They looked effortless. They didn't really have to try. They knew they were in control the whole time. They were shooting well. There was not, I mean, if you watch that game, it was just like, OKC was just like, okay, well, we'll see if we can get back into it, but we're probably not going to win. That was the tone of the entire game. Toronto at Detroit. This is a 212 total here. Toronto is favored by 6 Of course, they had a nice game last night. The Toronto bench is our little secret. Let's not talk about it because they're really good. They're really, really good. It's second unit with Fred VanVleet at the helm with Pascal Siakam and Jakob Poeltl. Really, I mean, Jakob is insane at how efficient. They're so good off the bench. Even DeLon Wright last night, 18 minutes, 25 fantasy points. Can you go to the bench again here? I don't know if you have to go to the bench. I might go to the starters. You know, they didn't play a lot. I mean, Kyle Lowry, like, he did the same thing that he's done in all the other Atlanta games. He didn't have to play. You don't have to play when your bench is that good. DeMar didn't play. He played 28 minutes, 33 points. Kyle Lowry played 22 minutes at 19 points. I think you go to the starters here in this situation. The bench played a lot of minutes last night. The starters can play a little bit more on the back-to-back here. Joval played 26 minutes. A good number for him. Put up 30. How will that look tonight? I'm not really sure. You know, this Detroit team is not that good. I think you could see a couple different ways to project their minutes, but I'm going to lean towards the starters play. They're closer to 30, right? In hopes that Detroit keeps it a little bit closer. 5-point spread isn't great, but we'll see. On the Detroit side of things, Stanley Johnson has been dealing with a back injury, which James Ennis has been the guy that they put into that spot with Reggie Bullock on the wing. So those two guys, James Ennis, really effective in that Orlando game. I don't love him in this spot against a much better Toronto defense, but, you know, there's certainly an argument for Reggie Bullock and James Ennis if Stanley Johnson misses because of the prices there. So that is that's something to keep an eye on for sure. Moving over to the Kings, New Orleans versus Sacramento. This is a 223 total here. New Orleans favored by 5 on the road. You know, obviously great win for them last night. How will this rotation change going into to you know, off the back to back? I don't know. I mean, Anthony Davis is 13K. You can still play him. They're terrible. This is a terrible, terrible defense. And he's been fine on back to backs. And I'll talk about it. I love Nico played 24 minutes. I think this is a good spot to look at Nico. He was very efficient with those 24 minutes. You know, I think there's a lot of guys that you could look at in this situation, potentially get some run off the back to get back against a bad Sacramento defense. Drew played 36. Etuan Moore played 35. Will they play those same minutes? I'm not really sure, but it doesn't matter because they're so productive in those consolidated minutes anyway. But I think Nico is the one guy that if I really, really, really wanted to look at somebody, I would probably look at him to have a nice good 30 plus minutes here against Sacramento. On the Sacramento side of things, you know, they're a mess. Nobody's going to play more than 30 minutes. Don't look for that. It's 28 minutes for everybody. So how do you manage price plus 28 minutes? That's the question. Cauley-Stein is out. So with Cauley-Stein out, Costa Kufos played 25 minutes the other night. Jakarr Sampson played 24 minutes. Zach Randolph did not play versus the Knicks. Scal played 33. Scal's going to play 33 again. I think that's really interesting. If Zebo is going to play, guys, it's Zebo time. And I would not be surprised if Zebo plays here. So let's keep an eye on that for sure. Zebo could be really, really interesting in this situation. Moving over, Cleveland at Denver, 230 total here. We just saw this game in Cleveland. Huge number put up in this game. And this is absolutely a game that we're going to want to target Highest total on the slate, tightest total on the slate. And listen, the trend has been in the last couple slates. Last night, what was the highest and tightest? It was LAC, New Orleans, right? And before that, you look for these high... I'm trying to remember what the game was on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, Monday night. Highest total, tightest spread. Look for it. You need to be overweight on that because there's other games that are more lopsided out there right now, and you have lopsided affairs and tanking affairs, things like that. The most profitable games have been highest total, tightest spread, playoff contention teams. Here you have it. Cleveland. Denver coming off the back-to-back, a bad loss to Dallas. They're going to want to bounce back. Cleveland just lost to Denver. They're going to want to get this one back on the road. Not going to have Tristan Thompson, it seems. So Larry Nance back at center. His price jumped an insane amount. And, you know, without Tristan Thompson and Jeff Green likely out. So without Tristan Thompson in the lineup, Chetty Osman went up to 22 minutes. Worth noting, right? Worth noting. But that was also a blowout, I guess. Maybe he played some of that. Zizic played 15 minutes just behind Nance. He just played the minutes when Nance was off the court. Ante Zizic did. Worth keeping an eye on. Larry played 30. Obviously, we saw him put up that monster line. His price is elevated. Rodney Hood played 30. Jordan Clarkson just backing up George Hill. 20 minutes for him. So, not a ton to love there. But I think we know who the starting core is going to be, right? We feel comfortable identifying them. LeBron destroyed them last time out. 62 fantasy points. Now, they lost that game, but he had a phenomenal triple-double. Magic at the Lakers. This is another great game. You know, no, basically zero defense type situation. 109-116. This is a Lakers by 7, which tells you something about how bad the Magic are. As far as injuries go, nothing serious. Here on the Magic side of things, you know, you have to take some interest in a number this high. Well, DJ Augustine, his numbers are pretty mediocre. Evan Fournier, the same. He's been pretty mediocre. John Simmons, worse than mediocre, just bad. Just straight up bad. You know, Hezonja is now coming off the bench. Aaron Gordon is getting 32 minutes, but has been, you know, had a wide range of outcomes. Vooch has been mediocre, you know, Vooching. I mean, this whole team is pretty bad. But their prices aren't terrible. I could see some Magic pieces in my lineup, but I really do prefer the Lakers, and you should prefer the Lakers with, you know, with all these injuries. We've seen a really, really, really tight rotation. You know, no Ingram, no Hart. Lonzo's played 34 minutes in all of his games. KCP has played over 40 in two games here. Kuzma's played 35. You know, Julius Randle's played almost 35 a game. And Brooke Lopez is now playing over 25 minutes a game. So you have a lot of viable options on this team just because now the minutes are so tight, which is a good thing. I mean, we haven't seen this from this team in a while. For fantasy purposes, having nice, tight, consolidated 30-minute chunks is a really good thing. We haven't had that. So this is absolutely a trend that we're going to want to exploit. You know, specifically, I mean, I think Lonzo's in a great spot against a bad Orlando team, bad rebounding team, etc. KCP is in a good spot as well. Definitely a lot of ways to go on this slate. A lot to like there. So I like the Magic side, or excuse me, the Lakers side significantly more than the Magic side. But I really, you're looking at these games, the last three on the West Coast. I mean, well, I take that back. There's actually, I think all six of them are in play because they're actually relatively competitive. I mean, Magic Lakers is just the Super Bowl of bad, high total. Cleveland Denver is going to be tight the whole way through. New Orleans Sacramento, you have very tight rotations on the New Orleans side. They're on the back to back, so there's something to exploit as far as matchup there. Toronto, Detroit. This might be the most dicey one because Detroit is just playing terribly. Rockets, Bucks is the premier game of the night. It should be a lot of fun. People are going to want to get some of these guys involved in their lineups. Memphis, Chicago is tight, and there's tons of value on the Memphis side of things. So there's a lot to like here. There's going to be a lot of interesting ways to go. Let's go ahead and get into the player breakdown and figure out exactly who we love. Who do you love? All right, you know how this works. We're going to start at the top of the slate. The most expensive players work our way down, baby, like Nelly would say. Start at the top here. We don't have a lot of expensive point guard options, so skip, move on. Harden versus Milwaukee. Honestly, like, if you watched that game last night, he wasn't trying. That was not Harden engaged. Like, he was playing fine. Played well, obviously, you know, when he needs to turn it on, he turns it on. The numbers come naturally to him. 11-4 on FanDuel, 11-1 on DK. The minutes are going to be there. He didn't really apply himself last night, so you feel comfortable. The back-to-back doesn't really scare me, but the metrics do show that his back-to-back hurts his legs. It hurts his shooting. He's shot 30% from the arc. He drops from like 37-40% normal splits down to like 30%, and he's only averaged 48 FanDuel points in that split. So back-to-back, road back-to-back, don't love it. I mean, he's still James Harden, 1.5 fantasy points per minute, 35-minute average, 31 real points, and flirting with 10 assists on a nearly daily basis. I don't have any problem with this. I think that if this game stays close, Harden and Giannis are just going back to back to back, and this game is actually high scoring, that interests me, right? That's very interesting. But thinking about Giannis specifically, and I think this kind of applies to both of them, and I'll talk a little bit about Giannis here in the same breath. He is specifically, his salary, he's 11-5 on FanDuel, 10-4 on DK. So if you noticed, last night, the Rockets really took Russ out of the game, specifically in the third quarter. And one of the things that they were able to do was that whenever the ball was in his hands, they sunk their defense. Everybody stepped back about 2 feet. They never really moved off of they never really played Adams. You couldn't stretch the floor. You didn't have many three-point threats in the corners or anything like that, and they did not. They were going to let Houston shoot, and they were going to let Melo shoot. And letting Melo shoot hurt them a little bit in the first half. It did not hurt them at all in the second half. What does that show you? There is a tendency for this team, or the ability of this team, D'Antoni, to recognize, listen, they want to get to the rim. They want to play inside. They want to play next to the rim. They're not a great shooting team. This isn't the Rockets. So let them try to do what we do. Fire the three, hammer the three, where you have four guys on the floor at a time who can always shoot the three. They can't keep up like that. And so if you sink and clog, that's going to be a problem. And if they sink and clog on Giannis, that's going to be a problem, because we know that Giannis isn't going to shoot the three. I mean, I don't know how many threes I've watched him pass up where he is wide open. The guy gives him 5 feet and he thinks about it. And so he gets him to step, and then Giannis puts it on the deck. That's like his favorite new move. It's like, I might shoot it. No, you won't shoot it. The guy steps one step forward, and then Giannis now feels like he's got a move on him. It's not part of his game. But I do like the fact that this is a big game, a high total, Western Conference. You go to that split, he's averaged 53 points. That's good. Total above 215 against the Western Conference. Out of the conference, yes, 53 points. He's at home, split that we like for Giannis. He's coming off a rest versus Harden. That's good. And he's the cheapest stud on the slate, 11-4. Harden is the cheapest stud on the slate, 11-4. Giannis right there with him. He did play Houston in December. He had 55 points, so that was great. You know, you can see they confirm that trend that we saw, the high total and everything. I do love this spot. I think if you want to get out and push the pace, this could be a really, really good one to do it against a team on the back-to-back. Do I think they're going to lose? No, I don't think Houston's going to lose. Do I think that it could be a high-scoring affair? Yeah. Yeah, if people start shooting well. And you saw them in that Philadelphia game. Like, that became a really high-scoring game really fast. With a lot of capable scorers. LeBron versus Denver. It just, you know, I was thinking last night while I was tilting my lineups and not looking at my lineups. You know that feeling, right? You're like, I wonder how everything's going. Don't look. Don't look. But, you know, I mean, I got to check in on CJ Miles in the second quarter. No, you don't. You don't have to check on CJ Miles in the second quarter, Sean. Good point. I don't have to check on CJ Miles. How many minutes do you think he could? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter until the game is over, Sean. It's CJ Miles in the second quarter versus Atlanta. Cool it. Good point. Okay, good point. Okay. You know what's really nice? LeBron James. You don't have to worry about LeBron James. That's where I ended up in that personal conversation. LeBron James is not someone that you have to worry about. You put him in your lineup, you go, okay, great. You know, it's like, it just works. It works. LeBron has been insane lately. He dropped a triple-double against this team just the other day. His price reflects how insane he has been. He is 12-5. It is hard to fit him in. But he's LeBron, and he's peace of mind. You know, I mean, he's 12-5, 11-4 on DK. He's basically the same as Anthony Davis right now, except that doesn't have the ceiling. His ceiling is like 65, which he just showed in this last game against Denver. He played 42 minutes there. You worry maybe, okay, wow, wait, that's too many minutes. No, he had a light day against Detroit, 28 against them. They were up early. He didn't play the fourth quarter. He's been well over a fantasy 1.5 fantasy points per minute in three of the last five games. That's where his ceiling comes into play. This game was a 243 total last time. No defense. The Nuggets gave up 116 points to the Mavericks last night. No defense. This game is not going to have a lot of defense in it, you guys. Get exposure to this game. I want shares on both sides. Bronny Bron might be the way to go. A lot of fun if you get some Bron Bron in your lineup. Anthony Davis versus Sacramento. He's 13K. I don't care. It's the worst center defense in the NBA. He's the best center in the NBA. Offensively, Joel Embiid might have something to say about that on a two-way situation. He had 60 last time out here. Not worried about 60 again. Doesn't scare me. But Sean, it's a back-to-back. That's a big deal. He's averaged 60 points in that split this season. So go ahead and be less concerned. He scored, that's an 8-game sample too. It's not terrible. I mean, that's, how many more back-to-backs does he have this year? Like two? So, you know, as far as a season sample, that's not terrible. Best center matchup on the slate. All the metrics show it. Boom, boom, boom. Get in there. How do you fit him in? At 13K versus 11-5 for Harden, like if you get a normal outcome from Anthony Davis and you get a normal outcome from Harden and you get a normal outcome from LeBron, then you've paid for a guy to get you 65 fantasy points, which is not crazy because he's done 65. I mean, he did 73 last night. He's done 90. How does he do this? I don't know, but it's not unrealistic to say, what's your projection for Anthony Davis tonight? Oh, I don't know, 48 points and 16 rebounds? No one would turn to you and be like, are you fucking crazy? No, not the way this guy's playing. No, I'm not crazy, 48 points and 16 against the worst center defense in the league. I'm not crazy. Okay? They just gave up 40 fantasy points to like Jared Allen and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Anthony Davis is going to do fine. Okay, gang. Let's move over to the grout here, 9K and below. Alonzo Ball. I know his name's not Alonzo, but I wanted to say that. Lonzo, 8K, 7-4 on DK. Total flop the other night in Portland. Explicable, my friends. Explicable is the word. Portland actually had really good perimeter defense, if you remember, in the early part of the year. They were contesting. They were not giving up free threes. Lonzo was not a good contested shooter. He is a good spot-up three-point shooter. He's fine when he has time, and he has to score to make that relevant. Everybody looks at that San Antonio game and you say, man, he's been crazy. Yeah, he's been crazy. He hit six threes. That was one of the best shooting nights that he's had. He's shooting better, but remember, this is Lonzo. If he doesn't shoot well, he's going to stop shooting. And if he can't get to the rim, he's not going to do it. He's just going to wait. He's going to take what they give to him. And he didn't have any rebounds. Now, Orlando, totally different. You know, this was the note, right? Okay. Portland has good perimeter defense, contest the shots. Portland is good rebounding team. Orlando is neither of these things. They're a bad rebounding team, and they're bad backcourt defense. So I think you go back to Lonzo here. I wish his price hadn't gone up, but it did. Plus matchup. He's had a couple plus matchups recently. He went for 1.2 and 1.4 fantasy points per minute in those plus matchups. This is one of those. 40 from him? Yeah, with the minutes. I mean, if you get 35 minutes from him in this situation, yeah, I think you get 40 from him. It's a little bit dicey, but I do like Lonzo. I like the ceiling. I like the floor. The problem is he's more expensive than Kyle Lowry. What? Like, what? Is there a Laker fan making? Did Laker fans make the pricing over at FD? Laker fans, show yourself. You guys fooling with the pricing? Honestly, bro, I think he's actually a little bit better than Kyle Lowry. I'm not going to lie to you. I think he actually has a lot more to his game than Kyle Lowry. Shut the fuck up. I love you guys. Anyway, Kyle Lowry, 7,700 versus Detroit. 72 on DK. His price drops because he does things like last night. He plays 19 minutes and, or excuse me, 22 minutes. He scores 19 fantasy points because they dominated the entire second half, right? I mean, he doesn't have to play. Sneaky good spot. Detroit sucks. He had 1.2 fantasy points per minute last time out just a couple weeks or just like 10 days ago against this team. He had 24 minutes. He had 21 fantasy points. They were demolishing them, or 31 fantasy points. Excuse me. They demolished them. It's the top five point guard matchup. They're at home. Detroit may be able to keep this a little bit more competitive, which I like because they've been kind of bad, Detroit is at home. They've been kind of bad. They get a little bit of rest. They get their legs on them. They get to play at home. That's a good thing, right? If this game stays tight, Lowry plays 35 minutes and you get more out of him at that price. So I have no problem with Kyle Lowry at 7,700. It's, you know, this is a guy with a 45-point ceiling, 50-point ceiling in some situations. I think this is a good spot. I think this is a really good spot. Jamal Murray versus Cleveland? Maybe. I think the other guy that I would prefer even more is De'Aaron Fox, 5,800 versus New Orleans. I mean, Josh was talking about, this matchup is in a class of its own. This matchup is in a class of his own. It has been an absolute smash spot. De'Aaron has been not getting more than 30 minutes. I wish he was getting more. He just isn't. That's what you puts a cap on how much you like him, especially with some of the value that's around here. You know, that's annoying. So I think the one guy that I will say that I forgot to talk about, Eric Bledsoe, has been bananas lately. Absolutely bananas. 40 points in all of the last three games. The floor for Bledsoe has basically been at 20, at 30. I mean, you really can't, like, you go back to the beginning of February. You go to the beginning of February, once Prunty took over, okay? You go to the beginning of February, Bledsoe has one game under 30 fantasy points. One. That's impressive with 8 games over 40. What? Yeah, 8 games over 40. That's bananas, man. I mean, so the consistency is there for Eric Bledsoe. People are sleeping on him, I think. he is a guy that if the money falls to you, you have the salary there, boom, go for it. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Shooting guard, shooting guard, shooting guard. Willie Barton is not completely a shooting guard. He's sort of a small forward. He's sort of a point guard. He's a wing. But he's been insane, man. He scored 42 in this matchup against Cleveland. Makes sense. There's a, you know, not a lot of defense. It's a high-scoring affair. Willie's one of their high scorers. You know, Ryan always talks about this guy. It's like, listen, Will, go out there, get me 40. That's it. That's what he does. Like, you, Will Barton is a lot like Lou Williams is this year. Like, you can kind of count on him to go out there and score every single night. Like, he's just going to touch the ball. He's going to score. He put up 38 last night. There is no reason to believe that he does not play 33 minutes here and score 30 fantasy points. So I like Will Barton in this situation, no doubt about it. High scoring game, I want Will Barton shares. He's going to put pressure on a defense. And I think people don't really play him because he's kind of expensive and he comes off the bench. But really, I mean, we're talking about, this is the same as Lou Williams. If you're comfortable playing Lou Williams, you should be comfortable playing Will Barton, you know, period. You know, that's what I'll say. So I have no issues with William Wallace Barton. KCP versus Orlando. I want a guy who's going to play 40 minutes versus the Magic. Are you kidding me? He's 7'7", which is obnoxious how they just jumped his price $1,300, but he's been worth the price tag. 6-2 on DK, still too cheap on DK. He's a borderline lock there. He literally has played over 40 minutes in the last two games. He's been over 30 fantasy points in every game in the last week and a half. He's been really, really good. Since that OKC game, since after the break, he's been phenomenal. So, KCP seems to be finding a rhythm offensively, putting in more scoring. He's also just doing all those other things, you know, the peripheral things that we like him to do. He's getting rebounds, he's getting steals, that kind of stuff. So this is the third best matchup on the slate versus Orlando. We know that we play shooting guards against Orlando. KCP is no issue. The issue is price. That's the issue. And the issue is that there's value at shooting guard. That's the issue. Bogdan Bogdanovic, not Boyan Bogdanovic out of Indiana. Bogdan Bogdanovic versus the New Orleans Pelicans. This is the best matchup on the slate for the two and the three. It's a good matchup as well. So Hield in play. Those two have been kind of flexing in at the two and the three. 28 minutes for both of them. Great matchup. They have struggled against this team, the matchups that we've seen from them previously. I just think now they're playing a lot better, right? Is that fair, or am I just kind of generalizing? They are playing better. I mean, they just generally are. 56 for Buddy Hield, 58 for Bogdan. That's about right. You know, I mean, in a good matchup, we're going to see Bogdan with the ceiling, so I much prefer him to Buddy Hield, even though I saw a great stat on NBA Reddit that Buddy Hield is shooting just as well from three as Steph Curry, which is just hilarious because it doesn't matter. But if you remember last year when the owner of the Kings was like, I want to turn him into Steph Curry. And it's like, well, that's not going to happen. You would have already known, buddy. Anyway, very much in play. Bogdan would be the one that I would prefer of the two at 5,800. For me, I think he's got a little bit more of a ceiling. I just like him more also. At small forward, you're going to save at small forward tonight. But if you don't want to save... Well, if you don't want to save, you're going to play LeBron or you're going to play Giannis. But if you want to get weird, I don't know what else to say. Wilson Chandler, 5,400. He's interesting. He's been playing 30 minutes, 24 fantasy points. I don't know. Trevor Ariza is the other guy. He had a nice game last night at 5,200 again tonight. I think it's a high-low situation, though. I mean, it is. There's value here. There's gold in them mountains, you know? So why wouldn't you take it? Take the gold and run, you know what I mean? As they say, that famous phrase, take the gold and run. I'm sure you've heard that old adage before, because I just made it up. Power forward for the first time in a long time. For the first time in forever, there are power forwards. I was frozen, in case you guys weren't aware. Nico Mirotic versus Sacramento. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Listen, Emeka Okafor played 20 minutes. Don't care. You needed him to play 20 minutes because you had a situation, you know, with DJ where you needed size. Nico, not that guy. He plays 28 minutes, 24 minutes, struggles, still puts up 31 fantasy points. Now he gets Sacramento, terrible front court defense. Yes, I love Nico in this situation. He's well priced. He is cheaper than the much more chalkety chalk chalk Paul Millsap. But I think he's very, very much in play. So very interested in Nico Mirotic at 6,300 on DK. I think he has a nice return for that price. I don't mind Paul Millsap. 6,900 is a nice price tag, but back to back, I don't know. The matchup is there. I just liked him when he was cheaper. You know, it's hard because you get used to these guys being cheaper and then you're like, oh, I have to pay so much for them. I don't know. I don't know about that. Can we go back to Aaron Gordon? Like, is this an Aaron Gordon situation? I mean, matchup wise, it is 27th in DVP to the Lakers, 30 minutes for him, 32 minutes. He's 7,600. He's going to go up against Julius Randle, who Julius Randle very much in play as well. He's been insane lately. Just his price is now almost, you know, you can't touch 8,600 Julius Randle. That, you know, did not see this coming last year. He's been really engaged and very, very productive. But Aaron Gordon at 76, I think he's interesting. I think he's very interesting. Perhaps not as interesting as these last two names. And I know I'm a little bit disorganized here, but two more names that I need to give you. Jamichael Green at 6,700 and then Zach Randolph at 5,900. Now, Jamichael's usage rate has been way up. He has been scoring well over 30 fantasy points per minute. He's been getting well over 30 minutes. He has been taking well over 10 shots. He's been kind of in and out of the center position with Pau Gasol. This is a great spot. Chicago's front court defense has been terrible. Their defense as a whole has been terrible. Definitely interested in Jamichael Green, no doubt about it. Now, I think Zach Randolph is going to play. Scalabissier, knee. Willie Cauley-Stein ruled out. I think Z-Bo is going to play. I think you're going to get 30 minutes from Z-Bo in this situation against New Orleans. And if you get 30 minutes of Z-Bo against New Orleans, you could get 50 fantasy points. It happened. It happened not long ago. He's been on, off, on, off. This is the night he plays. I guarantee you I'm going to have a lot of Zach Randolph in my lineups. He put 42 against New Orleans once. He put up 53 against New Orleans once. I mean, come on now. Zach Randolph, early 30 against New Orleans once. So 30, 52, and 40. That's what we're dealing with. If he goes out there and he gets you 28 minutes of pure Zach Randolph, give me the ball on every single possession, I'm in. I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. We'll see. We'll see, we'll see, we'll see, though. You need some news. I think it's hard to figure out who you want to build around because there's a lot of guys in this. You know, you can put it. You can, and I didn't even mention, you know, I didn't even mention Kyle Kuzma, who has been playing a ton at the three. He's 6,100. There's just a lot here, and it makes it hard to really like. It makes you, what it makes you like is it makes you like Giannis and LeBron. Because Anthony Davis is so expensive and there's depth at power forward. Like, and literally Josh just shot this message across. There's always chatter between Ryan and Josh and I. And Josh literally just said this. I really don't want to use AD. I really like a lot of these mid-range power forwards. This is what I'm talking about. I love these guys. So I'm really, really interested in like Nico and Zebo here in the no defense affair there in that spot. Moving on to center, the only play that I like from this game is Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is absolutely in play. Wait. I'm just realizing that the seventh game may only be on DraftKings. Yeah. FanDuel's a six-game slate. These motherfuckers. Anyway, well, Clint Capella then, okay? So all my notes on Rudy Gobert are gone. Clint Capella, total letdown last night. Ugh. But tonight's a good night against Milwaukee. Terrible center defense. We know that they allow the scoring in the paint. You know, Steven Adams is tough. He's going to push you off. If you watch that game, it wasn't that Clint Capella didn't try to get involved. It was that Steven Adams will literally just push you off your mark every single time. And he's really good in pick and roll defense. And so you don't have these perfect situations every time. Nope, not the case with John Henson. Clint Capella, all day, love him. 27 minutes, that's fine. He could go play 33 minutes in this situation. Nene played 17. That means that they're going to feel comfortable giving Clint, I think, his normal 30. I'm good with Clint. I like Clint a lot in this situation. Other than that, center has been a little bit thin lately. I do like Marc Gasol, however, even at that price at 8,400 against Chicago, especially if we get outages. If we get people out in Memphis, more bodies out, give me some Marc Gasol. He's been playing 33, 35 minutes. Terrible center defense. Love it. Definitely interested in that spot. Kostas Koufos, though, is the value play. Well, I got to talk about that in a second. Speaking of value plays, let's go down to the value bargain basement here. Talking about point guard. De'Aaron Fox might be the lowest that I go. But DJ Augustine is the point guard in Orlando who's going to get the run. Fine. Okay. George Hill, 4,700. We saw what DSJ did there last night. He had 25 last night. So George Hill in play if you need to save some buckies. Shooting guard, I said Buddy Hield, 5,600. Rodney Hood will be in the starting lineup for Cleveland. I don't mind him either. And then you have the Memphis guys. Kobe Simmons, Bam McLemore. Seldon did not play a lot. I don't know how healthy he is. But he doesn't seem to be in the rotation at all. It seems to be McLemore and it seems to be Simmons. McLemore played more minutes than Simmons, but they're both in play. If you need the savings there, I think that they are both viable. Small forward, I mentioned Wilson Chandler. I mentioned Trevor Ariza. Dylan Brooks is the other guy, as well as Etuan Moore. Those are the two other guys that I think could get really good minutes. If you get no Stanley Johnson, then James Ennis will get minutes, but it's not a great matchup for him. I'd much prefer one of those other guys. PJ Tucker should play 27, 28 minutes again at 3,700. You're not going to get much, but you're going to get savings, and a whole lot more. More than just shavings, which just sounds gross. What are you going to get, like flaky skin? Shavings? Gross. Jabari Parker, well priced at 5'5", down at the power forward position. That's not bad in a high paced game. I like that price for him. Yeah, that's it. I can't really go. I mean, who else? You know, I can't really. Mason Plumlee hasn't been getting the minutes. You know, he got 15 against Cleveland there. He's 4,100. It's not quite enough. You know, if he was getting 23, then maybe we'd think about it. At center, I mentioned Kostas Koufos. Yep, in play. Yep, definitely in play. Especially considering he's been performing well. I mean, in the last three games without Willie Cauley-Stein, the back, He's 20 minutes, 25 and 25. He's been above 20 fantasy points. You got New Orleans, high scoring game, fast paced game. He had 46 against them earlier this year. Wow. He might be the guy. In fact, let's go over to FanDuel.com. Let's build a lineup that features Costa Kufos at the center position. Costa Kufos at the center position means I'm also going to take maybe some Zach Randolph and some Nico Mirotic. Now, of course, he needs some Zach Randolph news. And let's say Zach Randolph doesn't play. Let's just say that. Let's go ahead and then put in Kyle Kuzma right there. Kuz Monster, okay? This is going to allow me, Kuz, Nico, Bron. Okay, this is the non-AD lineup. Kuz, Nico, Bron. Now, let's go a little bit more balanced here. Point guard position, I really did like some of these point guards. It's hard to get away from De'Aaron Fox. It's hard to get away from De'Aaron Fox. But it's really hard to get away from this mid-tier that I really like of Lonzo, Lowry, and Bledsoe. So I'm just going to go hard here, see what happens when I go Lonzo and Lowry. Okay, now, that means I have 4,800 left per position. Shooting guard, I'm definitely going to play one of these, if not both of these clowns from Memphis. Macklemore, the shitty rapper, and Kobe Simmons, the budget Kobe with an I. Kobe with an I, Kirkland signature Kobe. And then it gives me $6,000 left to play Denzel Valentine. You see what I'm saying about small forward? It is a wasteland. A wasteland, a sad, sad wasteland. Let's see how if I can get to Giannis. I need, you can't get to Giannis. Can't get to Giannis. Can't get to Giannis. You could get to, no, you can't get to Giannis. Oh my God, this is late. All right, Trevor Ariza, Dylan Brooks. Let's go to Dylan Brooks, and then we're going to upgrade. We're going to upgrade Thrift Store to Bogdan. Right? Okay, that's fine. Upgrade that guy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Lowry, Lonzo, Bogdan, Kobe Simmons, LeBron, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Kuzma, Nico Mirotic, Costa Kufos. Yeah, fine. You could flip out Kuz and Bron and put in AD. And then you play AD and Mirotic, Kufos, Dylan Brooks. Let me see. I get another cheap. Maybe get me some. Let's say James Ennis is in play. Not a great matchup. Let's say PJ Tucker. Boom. Peach, DJ PJ. And then, Will Barton and Kobe Simmons. This is kind of fun, too. This is the Anthony Davis lineup. This is because there's more savings at small forward, right? Kyle Lowry, Lonzo Ball, Will Barton, Kobe Simmons, PJ Tucker, Dylan Brooks, Anthony Davis, Nico Mirotic, Costa Kufos. So, Kyle Lowry, Lonzo Ball, Will Barton. That's kind of fun, right? That's kind of fun, little top of the lineup there. Can you do a game stack with Harden and Giannis? Yes, you can. Lowry, I'm going to play George Hill in this lineup. Get a little savings there, which isn't a bad play, by the way. He's not a bad play. Okay, so, yeah, this works. Okay. Lowry, George Hill, James Harden, Kobe Simmons, Giannis, Dylan Brooks, Nico. Well, maybe I can't play Nico. He's a little bit pricey. 5,900 per small forward means maybe I go Zach Randolph. Well, I'll downgrade Dylan Brooks. How's that? Downgrade Dylan Brooks to maybe Etuan Moore, and then I go Zach Randolph and Kyle Kuzma. There's a lot of power forward, though. I mean, I'm looking at this. It's like Nico's in play, Millsap's in play, Larry Nance is in play, Aaron Gordon is in play, Julius Randle is in play, Anthony Davis is in play. Blake Griffin, I skipped you for a reason. But this is interesting. Lowry, George Hill, James Harden, Kobe Simmons, Giannis, Etuan Moore, Zach Randolph, Kyle Kuzma, Kosta Koufos. So there's that too. A lot of ways to go, man. A lot of ways to go. We're going to need some news. Wait till we hear from Memphis. You need to hear some things. Wait till we hear something from Sacramento. You're going to want to hear some things there. That is all. That is all for me. Guys, review the podcast. Share the podcast. Listen to the golf podcast. It's live. And I'll talk to you later.